The nation, largely through the Veterans Affairs Department, tries to care for those who are willing to fight the battles. One part of VA is concerned with health care, another with a range of benefits, and a third with final burial. My next guest argues there's a missing piece. Joining me with what that is, Rebecca Burgess, Program Manager in Citizenship at the American Enterprise Institute. Ms. Burgess, good to have you in.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So what is the fourth piece of VA that the AEI envisions, that you envision, could really help veterans?
So my argument is that there should be a fourth administration following the others that you just mentioned that emphasizes economic opportunity as the missing piece of transition assistance. So economic opportunity is really the programs that already exist under the Veterans Benefit Administration that have to deal with all the education benefits. So the Forever GI Bill, which we're probably all familiar with. And some of the home loan programs, some of the loan guarantee programs, and the vocational rehabilitation and employment services, and their economic, just largely economic opportunity programs.
Now, there are a lot of programs in the Small Business Administration aimed at veterans, loans and business startup and so forth. Would you maybe pull those out of there and push them into this new channel?
So there already are within VA under the VBA some of those programs. So it's they have to coordinate that with the Small Business Administration, and those would definitely be part of the Economic Opportunity Administration.
And what are some things that are maybe not offered that you think could be added to this new channel?
Well, my point is not to grow government with this. It really is just to emphasize and streamline and elevate the programs that already are doing very well, but that get completely lost under the weight of the disability programs, let's say. So as I'm sure you know, the Undersecretary for the Benefits Administration has been empty for 900 plus days. And what happens then is everyone's focus, of course, is on the problems with the disability program. No one is really paying attention to the education and all of the economic opportunity programs.
And I guess you further argue that because of economic hardship, that often makes the mental and physical hardships that veterans face somehow worse.
Correct. It is. There's so much data out there that shows not only that employment is the key or the doorway, if you will, to a successful transition, but that education is the key to that doorway. And once veterans have that, they transition beautifully, if you will. 19 out of 20 veterans actually transition well. But once again, they need that help in that moment, because most veterans actually state that their stress comes from one, trying to navigate the confusing array of benefits and knowing where to go, the information about that, and then just the stress of needing that employment.
Yeah, so that means that besides adding an economic kind of fourth administration at VA, maybe VA needs to reorganize generally so that people can find what it is they offer in some cogent manner.
Well, that would be the dream to fit the 21st century needs. Really, you know, VA has kind of progressed mishmash, helter-skelter, you know, for the last century. And it has tried to meet the needs, but it's always based in kind of a World War I model, especially the Benefits Administration. So if we could really help, it's scary, let's say, to just try and tackle it all at once, but maybe we can do piecemeal. And this, I think, makes a lot of sense.
And as VA moves towards the choice program, we presume it's going to continue. Congress seems to be behind that pretty much on both sides of the aisle, even though there are people worried about the idea of privatization or people pushing that idea. Let's say it goes on the way it is. That de-emphasizes somewhat the medical role that VA plays. Do you think that maybe the radical idea of the Secretary of Veterans Affairs not having to be a doctor, but maybe someone concerned with this whole panoply of issues might be in order at this point?
Maybe, you know, for the past nine secretaries of the VA, we've had some doctors, we've had some vets, we've had some administrators, and seven out of those nine VA secretaries have resigned before they've even fulfilled, you know, their whole four term. So maybe we should go an administrative model.
We're speaking with Rebecca Burgess. She's manager in the citizenship program at the American Enterprise Institute. And what do you think the congressional theories or beliefs are with respect to reorganizing VA into four pieces as opposed to three?
Well, I think it's it's not entirely new idea to them, but I think it is making a lot of sense to them as they see Congress, of course, is very concerned about veterans and they want to help them. How they traditionally see this is they focus on mental health. And that's a very good thing. And we've had some great discussions and growth in that field. But what that tends to do over time is to emphasize the broken veteran narrative. If you only are seeing transition as something that is mental health based, then what you are saying and signaling to the rest of the nation is that veterans, by virtue of having served in the military, are broken by that service.
And I think the concomitant idea there is that only veterans who have been through the exact same experience are capable of dealing with those so-called broken veterans, which limits the amount of economic benefit through people that maybe can be brought to bear on them.
Right. And it also serves to further desegregate, if you will, veterans from the population that they have to reintegrate to. That is what the healthy post-service member is. He is a fully integrated person into the civilian community. And civilians need that, for seeing veterans as well. If the military relies to a certain extent on the reputation of veterans to recruit upcoming generations, if a young, woman or man just sees that someone who's been in the military is broken, why would a healthy young man or woman do that?
Now, the federal government has had a very strong program toward hiring preference for veterans. I mean, VA is probably half veterans, but you see a pretty high percentage throughout the government. On the industry side, there are companies that have made very visible efforts to show how they're training and hiring veterans, but those are few and far between. It seems like industry might be able to step up here a little bit more in that area of economic opportunity.
I think that's where a fourth administration emphasizing economic opportunity really comes into play, is because there are so many industries who say they would love to hire veterans, but they don't know necessarily how to go about it. And they feel a little handicapped in terms of not understanding the skills that veterans bring to the table. And they also feel that veterans lack a little bit in soft skills, especially communication skills. So they feel that veterans need a little bit of help to come to their employment table, and then employers themselves feel they need a little bit of more information to maximize those veterans.
And just give us a little bit of background on how you study this and what you've brought to it, because I know you've looked at this issue in some depth.
Yes. So one of my interests, of course, is looking at this transition moment and what really is going into it and what really are the factors. Once again, because I'm very concerned about this narrative of the broken veteran when veterans, by and large, actually do better than their civilian peers. And so how do we go about changing that? And one of a large study I did looked at the history of pension legislation around veterans. And what my conclusion was is that because it has emphasized traditionally the disability of veterans, it has actually shifted our national conversation to that model. And so one, this is good news because it shows that legislation is so powerful, it can shift the narrative. So having legislation that actually emphasizes economic opportunity opens up that whole discussion of post-service growth, which I think is immensely key.
So is your latest study before the eyes of the Veterans Affairs Committees in the House and Senate?
Yes, it is. So that's very exciting.
No feedback yet. They haven't been around for a couple of weeks.
Right. There's been some positive feedback, actually. There's, once again, that groundswell of support for helping veterans, a sea of goodwill, as Admiral, I believe, Mullen phrased it. And so people want something constructive to do. And Congress, of course, needs some wins on their side to show that they're actually doing work. So this could be something. This could be a win for everyone around.
Rebecca Burgess is a manager in the Citizenship Program at the American Enterprise Institute. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so very much.
Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.